Well, welcome back. Welcome anew to the Further Faster podcast. I, of course, am Joseph McClendon III, and I will be your guide, your host, and maybe even your mentor for this next little while on this voyage, this part of your journey called life, to help you do exactly what the name implies, and that is to assist you in going further, faster, and becoming wealthier. And around here, wealthy means to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant. And on that subject, today, actually, I'm just going to tease you for a second. I'm not going to tell you exactly what we're going to talk about till you come back. But I will say this, that what we're going to talk about today is the only thing, or shall I say the biggest thing, reason, component that has kept you and pretty much everybody on the planet from achieving their dream goals and desires, getting what they want. So grab a pad and paper, of course, and I'll be right back with this thing that I'm teasing you about. I'll see you in just a minute. Well, welcome back. And I'm going to tease you just a little bit more before I tell you what we're talking about. And I'm going to start things off by saying I was blessed, as some of you have been as well, to have had unbelievable parents. Now, I didn't think they were unbelievable when I was a kid, but now that I look back, they were unbelievable. I saw a meme the other day that said, when I got older and I got in my 40s and 50s, I realized that my parents were right. I just didn't like their tone. So the things that they taught me when I was young, I didn't appreciate them. And the hardships that they put me through that I thought were hardships in the time. And the end wound up being things that aided me in going further, faster in my life. And one of the things that they always taught us, myself and my sisters, was I remember my parents, both of them, were united in saying, if anybody else can do something or is doing something, then that means you can do it too. And then they were also very, very careful to say, notice I said you can do it. Not you will do it, but you can do it. And as I got older, and as I went through life, they would actually have me do things. And they would, you know, I got, you know, classes in karate, and they would, you know, kind of keep me busy doing things. And I always had great models and mentors and things like that in my life. And that is why I'm such a huge advocate of mentors and teachers and coaches and things like that. And that is why, quite honestly, I started the Neuro Encoding Institute, so that I could share the knowledge and the wisdom and the processes that I got from my mentors, and even share my mentors as well with as many people as possible. And so growing up, I had mentors that would teach me things and show me things, but it always came down to this. I learned some things, but I didn't always do what I learned. I fell short oftentimes. You know, I'm human. I fell short. I didn't do what they said, and I had to learn things the hard way. And so later on in life, I started to kind of take a check on myself and start to realize, well, listen, I wanted to be wealthy. I wanted to be healthier. I wanted to be happier. And I wanted to be financially abundant. And to be quite honest with you, you know, when I was young, it was all about the money. It was about making money. I didn't really put so much emphasis on health, because when you're young, you kind of feel like you're going to live forever. But as I got older, of course, that started to be something that I put a focus on. And it is one of the things that we talk about here for obvious reasons. But the thing that when I looked at, you know, being financially independent and financially abundant and all those things, I was presented with lots of different things to start my careers and to do my careers and the thing that I did. But to be honest with you, I failed a lot. And the reason I failed a lot is the same reason that most people fail a lot. And that is the F word, fear. That's it, fear. And no matter what you say, I can go anywhere. When I do business consulting, when I do personal consulting, when I do mentoring, teaching, coaching, and even in my traditional psychology practice, it was always came down to fear. And so you may have heard me talk about these before. I'm going to give you what I call the 10 deadly sins, or the 10 main fears. And I'm going to focus in on I'm going to focus on the main ones, but I'm also the beauty of what we're going to do here today, and the beauty of anything that whenever you come here to the Further Faster podcast, is I'm going to give you something to do about what we talk about. Because knowing something or acknowledgement and recognizing and realizing something, that's one thing. But doing something about it is another. Now, right now, you can go on, and I love it, by the way, on social media, and there is a flurry of people that are going to give you good advice with regard to how you function. You got to have courage. You got to have tenacity. When this happens, that's why this is happening. And all that stuff is great knowledge, but there's very, very little process in what to do about it. Because all of us will say, yeah, I, you're right. That's absolutely right. And all of us can get motivated. And I oftentimes, when I go do a keynote speech somewhere, I will give people a choice. And I always tell people, listen, I can give you a speech. And it's going to be one of those great speeches like, you know, you got to burn your boats on the shores of the enemy if you want to win, you know, and you got to have courage. And I'm going to give you some stories about courageous people. I'm going to give you some examples of people who broke through their fears and did it. And at the end of that speech, you're going to feel great. You're going to be excited. You're going to be motivated. You're going to be empowered. You're going to be all these things that make you feel like you want to do something now and that you can do something now. The truth of the matter is that feeling is going to last anywhere from 24 to 48, maybe 72 hours before it wears off. And what it wears off into is our old habits, our old beliefs, our old fears, if you will, come up and take it over. And we function a certain way when they do, because the speech didn't really do anything to change anything. So I say, I can give you that speech. And at the end of the speech, you'll think I'm spectacular. You'll think this was spectacular. You'll think you're spectacular. But it's not going to last. Or I can teach you something that's going to change your freaking life. Which choice is yours? And of course, they always choose the latter. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. There's not a person that can step in front of me at the risk of sounding arrogant that I can't make a difference in their lives, at least in awareness. And so that awareness is the awareness of these, what I call the 10 deadly sins, or the 10 deadly fears, or you can call these also the thieves of our dreams. And they are procrastination, hesitation, fear of failure, fear of success, self-doubt, self-loathing, imposter syndrome, fear of rejection, stress, and overwhelm. All 10 of those things. Look, I literally teach my students, you know, you can get in an elevator and say, hey, everybody in here, could any of you benefit from procrastination, hesitation, fear of failure, fear of success, self-doubt, self-loathing, imposter syndrome, fear of rejection, stress, and overwhelm? If you suffer from those things, could anybody benefit from getting help on those things and helping mitigate those things? And 100% of the audience is going to say yes, because everybody suffers from them, self-included. And it's not about getting rid of them, and it's not about squashing them down or covering them up. It's about mitigating them, making them smaller so that you can replace them with something that serves you. And so having said that, if all of those things, any of those things that you recognize, well, wait a minute, that's the reason why I don't get up early or stay up late. I procrastinate. Or that's the reason I say I'm going to do this diet and I don't do it. That's the reason why I don't go to the gym. That's the reason why I don't pick up that phone, is because I'm afraid of a rejection or whatever that's going on. All of those things impact our lives. And the truth of the matter is, we all have them, and those are fears. And I want you to know something. And by the way, everything that I say is not something that Joseph McClendon made up. These are things that obviously, as I said, and that's why I opened the program by saying, I've had coaches, mentors, teachers, not just my parents, but coaches, mentors, and teachers. And some of them you know or know of, you know, the Tony Robbins and the Les Browns and the list goes on and on. Deepak Chopra, you know, all of these people have been my mentors, and not just my mentors that I've looked up on YouTube. These are people that I know, people that I have sat with and had spent some time with. I've been fortunate enough to do that. And the reason I'm here is because I want to pass that on to you. But the truth of the matter is, there are no fearless people. There's nobody that is not fearless. But there are people that fear less. And what I mean by that is this: fear is meant, it's a survival mechanism. If you went through life without fear, then your life would be very, very short, because so you're going to do something stupid or something's going to come along and take you out. You know, babies have no fear. And listen, babies will eat poison if you put it in front of them. Babies have no fear, and they'll walk off the edge of a cliff. because they have no fear of falling or any of those things. But human beings, as we grow up, listen, we become afraid of things because we get experience. As you stick your fear, your hand in the fire, it burns you. Then guess what? You learn from that. And you got a fear of pain. Listen, I'm not going to stick my hand in there because I'm afraid that if I do, I'll get burned. So whether it's a small fear or a big fear, we all have them. But so nobody does not have them. Nobody is not fearless. But when I say people fear less, I don't mean the quantity, meaning the amount of times that they become fearful. Although it does start to reduce when you start to do what I tell you to do and you start to recognize this. I'm talking about the amount of time that they spend in this emotion called fear. The amount of time, because you can stay fearful, and let's just use worry for an example. You're worried that something is not going to happen, or you're worried that something is going to happen. And while you're worrying about it, your body is going to release chemicals that are harmful for you and keep you fearful. That's what worry is. Your body is going to dump something called cortisol and adrenaline and all of those things into your body that make you feel that way and keep you worrying. What's going to keep you focused on that? Your stomach's going to turn. You're going to get, you know, you're going to lose your energy, all those things because you're worried. Well, that's just fear. Whether it's fear of failure, fear of success, self-doubt, uncertainty, any of that stuff, that's just fear. And no matter what, in that moment, everything that we do has an element of choice in it. Said differently, if you're worried about something, a fearful person is going to stay worried. A person that has learned to mitigate their fear, mitigate the time that they spend in fear, is going to find solutions better. And you've probably heard me talk about this before. You become more optimistic, meaning you start thinking of other options. So if something happens, if you're worried about something, then you have an option in that moment to go, well, wait a minute, you know what? It hasn't happened yet, and maybe this good thing will happen, or what can I do to make sure that it happens? And you start to look in those things, and you become more optimistic. So obviously, you have taken yourself out of fear. Even if it's just for a very short moment that you're in fear, fear is designed, remember this, fear is there as a warning signal. That's it. You're not designed to stay in fear. And as a matter of fact, if you stay in fear too long, there goes your health, there goes your energy, there goes your ambition, there goes everything that would get you to go forward. Will it get you off the dime? The answer is yes. You'll take your hand out of the fire. You'll do something right now in the instant, but it is not sustainable. It will not go on. And the more that you allow yourself to stay there, the more it will persist. Now, I'm going to get a little technical on you for a second. And don't worry, I'm actually going to give you something to do to snap yourself out of it so that you fear less. But here's what happens. In the human brain, we have a couple of systems that are always on alert and always working. Not the least of which being our sympathetic and our parasympathetic nervous system. And all that means is your sympathetic nervous system is fight or flight. Something happens and it goes, I got to do something to get the hell out of here, or I got to do something to fight my way out of here. Now, when that happens, like I said, and again, I may be repeating myself, and I hope you've heard this before and hear it again, it's so you can use it. That when we're in that mode, we only have two options. Get up and get out, or fight your way out. And in that moment, the adrenaline that's going through your system, which, by the way, adrenaline is corrosive. It is not meant to be in your system all the time. It literally is there to get you into action right now. Something shows up that is a danger to you, whatever it is. That adrenaline comes into you right now and it says everything on alert. All your muscles, your eyes will dilate, everything will happen, and it's time to take some action right now. Let's get the hell up out of here, or let's fight this thing and get it over with. But either way, let's do something, and we are at the ready. Now, when that happens, every bit of your entire being is called upon, and it's unbelievable stress in that moment. Unbelievable. The other thing it is released is something called cortisol, and cortisol is corrosive as well, because what it is literally doing is shutting down your ability to see anything else that you become focused on everything that's happening right now that you are afraid of. And that's what you'll focus on. And if you focus on it, then guess what? That's more of it you'll feel. And the more of it you feel, the more of it that you'll do. Well, I'd like to add to that. And by the way, all of this happens in something called your amygdala. It's a part of your brain that says, okay, you know, this is what we're going to do about something. We're going to do something. And in that moment, that in that amygdala part of our brain, that's what's sending out these signals to go, you know, to your heart to beat faster, to your adrenal glands to release more adrenaline. All of those things are going on inside there. But I want to submit to you that there is a third element that happens, and this is where most people live, because most people do not live in that much fear. Most people do not live in that life or death situation. It does happen from time to time, yes, but think about it. When was the last time you felt like you were dying? You felt like that you're the end of your life was coming right now. It's very seldom for most of us, especially in this day and age. But we do suffer from is what's called low level fear and low. And when you hear stress, that's all stress is fear, low level stress. And what that means is maybe it's not life threatening, but it's something to worry about, which means that the body is releasing those chemicals that I said before in smaller doses, but it's continual. And it's all the time. It's with us. Depression, depressed people, you take their blood, you measure the amount of cortisol in their blood. It's huge. And it's constant. And so through time, it denigrates us and it causes us to do things that don't help us. Why? Because we don't feel good. And we want to get out of that feeling. So we do things, eat more food or alcohol or weed or, you know, substance abuse and things like that to get out of pain, because that's what our amygdala says is get the hell out of pain. And so we do those things. And what I would like to submit to you is that there is a third element that happens in between there. And it's not a third element. It's actually fight or flight, either one of them, the way you want to look at it. And that is this. It's fight, flight, or freeze. Fight, flight, or freeze. And freezing is what most of us do. When I say freezing, it's we do nothing at all. We do nothing at all. We retreat to the comfort of doing nothing at all, not making that choice, not taking action on something, not doing something about it. You know this as procrastination. Our brain starts to think, because that's the only choice, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And as soon as we think it, remember, we cannot tell the difference between what's real and what's not when we imagine it. So we think to ourselves, I will do it tomorrow. I'll feel better and I'll do it tomorrow. And in that moment, the brain and the body believes that's true because you said it. And guess what? You're off the hook just like that. And you forget about all the pain and you take yourself out of it. You become fearless. You fear less in that moment. You've actually done the process of taking yourself out of fear. You go, I'll do it tomorrow. Now, I was watching, I love to watch nature shows on YouTube and on National Geographic and everything. And there's a few animals, several animals that demonstrate this as well. One of them is little pigs. I was watching this thing where they're out hunting wild boar. And they're, if you know, they're kind of a nuisance around the United States and actually around the world now. And what happens is when they're startled, the little pigs just freeze and just drop in the moment and they do nothing. And when they test these pigs and they do this, and it's the same thing that's happening inside of their brain that's happening inside of the human being's brain. That they just freeze. They just drop to the ground and just stay in one place. And there's another example of it. It's hilarious. There's these goats these baby goats, and I forget what kind of goats they are. When they become scared, they actually become paralyzed and they fall right over in that moment. Well, the reason I share that with you is the same thing that's happening inside their brain is the same thing that's happening inside a human being's brain. When we do something else, we freeze and we go watch Netflix or we do whatever. We take ourselves out of that pain. That is your amygdala working. Your brain is working absolutely perfectly. But here's the clue. Here's the kicker. Here's the fun part. Here is the solution. And that is that we have all been blessed with a type of brain that we can change, that we can actually override instinct. We can reprogram ourselves. We can encode ourselves to override even instinct. There's no real other animal on the planet that even ventures to do that. It most, if not all, other animals on the planet, they stick with their instinct throughout their lives. That's what keeps them alive. Birds have an instinct to fly south for the winter. Butterflies. I was watching this thing. Again, I love nature shows. The monarch butterfly flies, you know, several thousand miles, like 5,000 miles from North America all the way down to South America so that they can breed. You know, whales travel thousands of miles. They do it all from instinct. Nobody sits them down in school and says, you got to do this. They do it from instinct. Well, human beings, we can change our instinct. We can change our behavior. We can change what we do. We can change what we believe. We can change how we behave. The old saying is the best time to plant a tree is 30 years ago. The next best time is right now. So it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter where you are in your life right now. You can make a change. So I'm going to take a really short break. And when I come back, we're going to venture along that path of what you can do to make that change. And it's going to be unbelievably simple, simple, simple. I'll be right back. Hey, what's good? It's me, Joseph McClendon III. And let me get real with you just for a second. Now, you've probably heard me talk about this before, something that I call the thieves of our dreams. Procrastination, hesitation, fear of failure, fear of success, self-doubt, self-loathing, imposter syndrome, and fear of rejection. Well, let me ask you a question. What if you could not only retrain your brain and your nervous system to automatically default to your absolute best thoughts, emotions, and behaviors, but you could also do the same for others that are going through difficult times and challenges in their own lives and things that are stopping them from creating the life of their desires? Well, this is what I call neuroencoding. And at the risk of sounding arrogant, these are the same tools, methods, and strategies in neuroscience that I've used to operate in the upper 5% of all of my own businesses, especially as a coach, a speaker, and a presenter for the last 30 plus years. The Neuroencoding Institute provides you with the knowledge, the tools, and unmatched support to become a certified neuroencoding specialist and guide you to the life of wealthiness. And remember, wealthy means to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant. Go to neuroencoding.com to speak to an enrollment specialist today, and I look forward to serving you at the highest level.
You're enjoying this episode on Angel Phoenix Productions Podcast Network. To explore a complete lineup of quality programs and media production services, head on over to angelphoenix.com or like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Angel Phoenix Productions.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. I hope you are chomping at the bit and going, well, Joseph, what is it? You know, how do I make that shift? How do I make that shift to myself to start to, let's just say, change what maybe it's not instinct, and it's something I call contrived instinct. And that is that, you know, a bad habit that you've gotten or this fear that you've gotten, by the way, and that's, you know, any habits that you have, they're bad habits. They're generally fear-based. That is a bad habit is another thing that we have learned to do to take ourselves out of fear, to take ourselves out of uncomfortableness. Now, before I jump into that, I want to tell you that I'm talking the entire spectrum of fear, from absolute life-threatening fear all the way down to mild worry. I think all of us will agree that the less time we spend in those moments or in that emotion, the better off we're going to be, the quicker we're going to be able to figure a solution out. The better our lives are going to be, the happier we're going to be, the healthier we're going to be, and all of those things. But it's not just the least amount of time spent in those. It's what we do with the time that we're not in those emotions. Said differently, that when it comes down to it, you know this, knowledge is not power. Knowledge is only stored information. You know, your cell phone has got so much knowledge in it, it's crazy. And access to knowledge. Heard somebody say that 80 to 90% of all of the information since the dawn of time is somewhere on your phone somewhere because you have access to the internet. Knowledge is not power. But, and they say that action is power. And I say that that's true, but You know, action implies that you're doing something once or twice or maybe even 10 times. That's not power either. When I say power, it means, in this case, power means getting something done. That means doing the stuff that it takes to get your dreams, goals, and desires. I say that activity is power, and that is action done over, the right action done over and over and over again until you surpass your goal. So the truth of the matter is, you can go anywhere. You can listen to Bill Gates. You can listen to Elon Musk. You can listen to anybody. And I'm just talking about those that are highly accomplished individuals, but it can be in anything, anywhere. And they can tell you what to do. But unless you do something about it, then nothing's going to happen. It's just going to be great information. And so it always comes down to this. This is where your action comes from. And the reason I'm starting this off with is because what I'm going to tell you to do, you need to do something about it. It's an execution, meaning doing something about it, application, and consistency. So if you learn something, if somebody says, go to the gym, lift this weight, 100 times, this many days, you got to execute that. You got to execute the process that is given to you, application that is given to you. And you got to do it over and over again. But here's the challenge. And what I said, procrastination, hesitation, fear of failure, fear of success, self-doubt, self-loathing, imposter syndrome, fear of rejection, stress, and overwhelm. All of those things tend to get in our way. And all those things are just fear of being uncomfortable. That's it. And when we're uncomfortable, guess what? We only see the bad. We only see the bad. I don't want to be uncomfortable anymore. Now, obviously, like I said, you can go somewhere and you can hear a lot of people saying, well, listen, discomfort is a signal for you to do something. Well, to do what? To do what? And so I'm going to share with you something that is so unbelievably simple. And when you practice it, guess what? It has a global effect on all of your fears. When I say a global effect, it doesn't just affect the thing that you're dealing with right now. It conditions you to instinctively snap out of it. Snap out of fear into something else, anything else that serves you. And when I say anything, I mean anything, because most of us will look, because we do it, don't we? When we go drink alcohol or we smoke weed or we do anything like that, and anything, we don't make conscious choices all the time. Sometimes we do. We just go, this is better than the feeling that I was feeling a while ago. I'm gonna be 70 years old in 6 days. And I've been around long enough to have seen, I used to watch that, on television, and it's still there, by the way. It is like, you had a hard day at work. What do you do as soon as you get home? Let's grab a beer or grab a drink or whatever, and a cigarette and that kind of thing. And all that did was taught, people that that's what you do when you get stressed and you've gone through, even when you're tired, grab something to just take yourself away from their problems, that kind of thing. And guess what that graduated into? Alcoholism grew like crazy. Now it's, all the other things that are doing things like that. So the question is, what should you snap into instead of being fearful? And so when I say anything, I mean anything that is predetermined, that puts you on the path, or predetermined that is better and it's going to serve you in that moment to get you what you want. What does that mean? Number one, write this down. What do you want? Because if you don't know, if you're fearful about something, if you don't feel like doing something, if you're going through procrastination or whatever, guess what you're not thinking about? What it is that you want. You're focused on the unresourceful stuff. And I made it really simple for you, because what you want is everything that I said at the very beginning of this, and it is the foundation of the Neuroencoding Institute. It's the foundation of Further Faster, and we all want the same thing, and that is to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant. If you just remind yourself in that moment, well, wait a minute, what I want is to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant, then guess what? You are not in that moment. Again, you're not fearful. And so the process that I'm going to give you is called It's called interrupting your pattern. You've heard me talk about it, and there's hundreds of ways to do it. And that is, go ahead and allow yourself to be fearful for a second, because that's the alert. That's okay. Well, wait a minute. I got to do this, and I got to do this. And as soon as you feel bad, as soon as you feel uncomfortable, as soon as you feel stressed, if you feel any of those things, stand up. Because I promise you, 99% of the time when you're going through any kind of fear, you're sitting down, slumped over, maybe driving in your car or whatever, doing whatever. So in that moment, I don't care if you got to pull your car over or whatever, stand up and shake yourself out and put a smile on your face. I know this sounds unbelievably simple, but it is. Because here's what happens. As soon as you do it, number one, you are no longer in that fear, even if it's just for a moment. And your brain is going, well, what else should I do? What else should I do? And you've created what's called a scotoma, which is a blank spot, which is a vacuum in your brain. And your brain says, give me something. So as soon as you smile, guess what happens? All the way back to what I said, the antithesis of fear is joy, is happiness. And what happens there is your body is going to release, I almost said the Kraken, but it is, and maybe it is the Kraken in terms of good things. It's going to release dopamine, which is the euphoric hormone. It's going to release oxytocin, which is the love hormone. It is going to release dopamine, which is the passability hormone, which is going to make you feel good in the moment. And then your brain is going to go, what just happened now that I feel good? Oh, I snapped myself out of it. And guess what? Because you do it over and over again, it is, here's the formula, feel bad on purpose and then snap yourself out of it. Stand up, shake yourself out, interrupt your pattern. Number three, feel good, smile. And then number four, celebrate, pat yourself on the back and go, I just snapped myself out of it. So all you're doing is practicing feeling bad and snapping out of it and feeling good. Feeling bad, snapping out of it and feeling good. And this is what I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, that is that everything that you've ever done in your life, that you're successful at, any habit that you have right now, anything that you do, you learn to do it through repetition. I call it human physics. You learn how to drive a car, ride a bicycle, write your name, do any of that stuff because you've done it over and over and over again to such a point. And to go back on what I said, you took activity. You did it over and over. And at some point, you don't have to think about it anymore. It's a habit with you. It is something that is natural with you. You do it automatically. And so the same thing here. So I'm not teaching you anything that is foreign to the nervous system. Your brain and your body want to do this. That's how you become optimistic. And that's how you become that kind of person that looks for possibility when other people look and are stuck in pessimism. Lastly, I'm going to say this, that you, it is not your fault. Remember I said, you know, I'm old enough to remember when all these things were happening in television, all that stuff, and it still happens now. Now it is tenfold. Whether it's television, whether it's the media or whatever, is designed to keep you in low-level stress. Why? Because they know if they got you there, then they can promote things that you believe are going to take you out of here. Drink this type of beer, you know, smoke this kind of cigarette, drink this kind of alcohol, you know, do this, watch this show. And we become mesmerized with that stuff. And guess what we're not doing when we're mesmerized? And guess what we are doing? Just like those little piglets and just like those little goats, we're in our amygdala that is going fight or flight or freeze, and we freeze. And when we freeze, we get nothing done. And when we freeze, we actually move backwards. So this process, now listen, this is the simplest way I can, one of the simplest ways I can do it. And probably this is not the first time you've heard me talk about it. That is why it is and how important it is to us. The more people, the more time that you spend working on yourself, snapping yourself out of it, the more healthy, happy, and financially abundant, said differently, wealthy you will be. I hope this has been helpful for you. I'm Joseph McClendon III, and this has been the Further Faster Podcast. I look forward to serving you more in the future, and I will see you at the top.
This podcast was a production of Angel Phoenix Productions. Explore more episodes of this show or other great shows on the Angel Phoenix Podcast Network by visiting angelphoenix.com. The views expressed in this show do not necessarily represent those of Angel Phoenix Productions or its advertisers, and may contain language that's unsuitable for younger listeners.